Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for February 10th, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
When an atom is at a particular temperature, it gives off a particular colour of light. And so if we can measure that colour, then we can tell what the temperature of the sun is.
So your seasons would be very, very strange indeed, because every couple months it'd be very, very warm, and between that it'd be very cold. So it's very interesting to imagine what life would be like on these planets.
There's been this increasing trend in snow cover across Eurasia in the fall, and the key month is October.
This week, why recent bad winters may be the result of global warming, and are bad storms and earthquakes related? Also, what life might be like on planets with two stars? But first, Suzanne Bard answers a listener's question about the sun.
A listener called with this question.
How hot is the surface of the sun? Could you tell me the exact temperature of the sun?
We consulted solar physicist Jack Ireland of the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. He says the sun's surface is about 6,000 degrees Kelvin, which is around 20 to 30 times hotter than the hottest day ever recorded on Earth. But he says the sun's core is even thousands of times hotter than that.
You're talking tens of millions of degrees Fahrenheit, so it gets very much hotter as you drop in.
He adds that the corona of the sun, which is what you see during a solar eclipse, is hotter than the surface.
The strange thing about it is that you're kind of moving away from a hot object, and instead of things getting cooler, they get hotter. I think that's kind of a good example of just how strange things can be on the sun.
He says scientists measure the temperature of stars indirectly by the color of light that they emit.
When an atom is at a particular temperature, it gives off a particular color of light. And so if we can measure that color, then we can tell what the temperature of the sun is.
And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Suzanne. And in other solar news, concentrated solar power plants use hundreds of large mirrors that focus the sun's energy on a central tower. But each power plant takes up many acres of land. Now, MIT scientists have copied the spiral pattern within the sunflower to place the mirrors in a new arrangement. It takes up 20% less space, making the energy plants more practical. Imagine looking up at the sky and seeing two suns. NASA's Kepler spacecraft has discovered three planets circling twin star systems so far, and astronomers now believe they may be more common than previously thought. Two of the planets, called Kepler 34 and 35, are gas giants with about the mass of Saturn. They're probably too hot to harbor life, according to San Diego State University astronomer Jerry Orosz. Plus, their stars' wide elliptical orbits would cause extreme climate variations.
And so your seasons would be very, very strange indeed, because every couple months it'd be very, very warm, and between that it'd be very cold. So it's very interesting to imagine what life would be like on these planets.
But he says many yet undiscovered planets might have better odds of life.
If you want to have a double sun and have a fairly normal climate, what you would have to have is a pair of stars that orbited much closer to each other.
The Pacific Northwest has had a brutal winter so far, and last year the East Coast got pummeled with one blizzard after another. At times like these, talk of global warming seems a little odd. But according to science reporter Justin Warner, the same trends that cause warming the rest of the year may be keeping winter cold in much of America.
Global warming may be keeping winters generally cold, at least for now, in the Northern Hemisphere. This according to climatologist Judah Cohen of the Massachusetts company Atmospheric and Environmental Research. His team found that spring, summer, and fall in the Northern Hemisphere's mid-latitudes have gotten steadily warmer recently, but winters haven't.
So the other three seasons are warming and winter isn't. Can that happen by chance? We looked at a lot of model data, and it was very unlikely based on a large number of model runs. We think that there has to be something forcing the lack of a warming trend.
One reason may lie in the warming Arctic autumns, where the warmer air can hold more moisture and shrinking ice caps expose more seawater to evaporation. The upshot?
We showed in the paper there's been this increasing trend in snow cover across Eurasia in the fall, and the key month is October, so October is a key month. Snow cover is the most reflective and naturally occurring surface on the Earth, so much more sunlight is now reflected away back into space compared to when there isn't snow cover present. So that you have this energy deficit over the snow cover, and this tends to form very cold, dense air masses.
That mass of cold, dense air disrupts other atmospheric patterns, ultimately forcing more cold Arctic air southward toward the mid-latitudes. Cohen notes that this plays out somewhat differently every year. For example, this year it isn't forcing air toward the American East Coast. And he adds that all this could break down when it gets too warm in October for those early snows to fall. But for now, the research suggests that cold winters not only don't contradict global warming, but may be an expected result.
Thanks, Justin. As if tropical cyclones weren't destructive enough on their own, they may also set the stage for big earthquakes. This according to University of Miami geophysicist Shimon Widowinski. He got suspicious after the devastating Haiti earthquake of 2010. 2 years earlier, four severe storms had battered Haiti within 25 days.
It was only one example, so I looked for other examples and I found them in Taiwan.
Taiwan's records were much more thorough. Widowinski's team found that over the last half century, Taiwan's worst typhoons have been followed by major earthquakes within 4 years. His theory is that the heavy rains wash away huge amounts of soil that weighed on the area's faults. For the type of fault found in Haiti and Taiwan, that makes it easier to release stress in the form of an earthquake. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of fascinating science stories for you. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition, every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.